To find out more about today's topics, go to travelbagswithanita.com. Now, back to the show on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through.
Welcome back. You are listening to Travel Bags just with Anita and Friends on WDUN AM 550. Don't you just love that song? That is one of my favorite songs also. Just love that. Just love it, love it.
Everybody now, loves Ray.
That's right, Ida. Everybody loves Ray Charles, and especially that song. Now, what I'd like for you all to do now is picture yourself on a pristine beach, just you, your book, and the ocean breeze. You look around. You look to your left. You don't see anyone. You look to your right. You don't see anyone. All you see is nature. No hotels, no condos dotting the shore. Just beautiful white sand. That means you're on Sapelo. And on Sapelo is a wonderful community named Hog Hammock. And I know that name probably catches your attention and makes you want to ask the question, so what does that name mean? And our next guest has that answer. She has written the book called Sapelo Island's Hog Hammock, which highlights the life in the small close-knit community. And her name is Michelle Nicole Johnson. And she is not only the author of this book, but she's also the manager of the Island Library, so she has her hands on lots of different books. And she lives on the island with her husband, whose family has lived there for several generations. So welcome to the show, Michelle. We're glad to have you here.
Hi, I'm glad to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. Well, you know, we have to first start off by asking you that question. What does Hog Hammock mean?
Well, according to island legend, the community is named after Mr. Samson Hogg, who was a slave who tended hogs for the family of Thomas Spalding. Thomas Spalding was one of the larger slave owners and plantation owners on Sapelo Island. Mm-hmm. And so you have the Hogg family because they tended the hogs.
Oh, okay.
And he was married to a woman named Sally. But shortly after Samson Hogg passed away, the family changed their name to Hall, H-A-L-L.
Okay.
So, but the name stuck for the community. And originally it was spelled with two G's.
Yes, I have seen it that way too.
Yes.
Okay.
And I should point out that that although the name is Hog Hammock, H-A-M-M-O-C-K, the people here pronounce it hummock, and which is another word, but the name Hog Hammock is the one you usually see on the signs and in books.
Okay, but it's pronounced Hog Hummock.
Yes, that's how you'll hear someone from Sapelo say it.
Okay. All
right. Nice to talk to you, Michelle. That's an interesting corollary, just looking to things here in North Georgia. The mm-hmm. Cherokee people have a lot of things, again, associated when you get to the word hog. The Big Meat clan is prominent up in parts of North Georgia, North Carolina. Again, mm-hmm. Cherokee people that did a lot of handling and working with processing of the hog meat. And that's just interesting that you see that all the way down from the mountains all the way down to the coast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's interesting how you can connect those, you know, different areas. People didn't know each other, but they were doing some of the same things.
Right.
Okay, I want to jump right in, though, and start off by telling us a little bit about some of the families of Hog Hammock.
Oh, my goodness. There was a study, a genealogical study done of Sapelo's families in the 1980s. And they looked back at the 1880 census, and they identified 44 families that were living on the island in 1880. And many of those families' descendants are still on the island today.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1880, there were actually several communities on the island, dotting the perimeter mostly of the island. But all of those communities were consolidated into one community starting in the 1930s. So all of those families that were spread all over the island found themselves all living together in one community. And there are several of them, and many of the names are still, you know, still used today.
Mm-hmm.
One of the larger family names is the Hillary family.
Okay.
In that genealogical report, I mean, you just flip through page after page after page of Hillary's, and that's a name you still hear on the island today.
What about Johnson? Because I know that's your husband's family name.
Yes, the Johnson family actually appear in the 1870 census.
Mm-hmm.
And according to our family legend, Isaac Johnson came down this way from somewhere up in Chatham County near Savannah and settled on Sapelo Island with his wife, Jane, who mm-hmm. was a Cherokee Indian woman.
Okay, and, the Cherokee tie-in again.
Yes, and they raised a family here in a little corner of Hog Hammock known as Johnson Hammock. And it was just the two of them when they got here, but they had a lot of children, and their children, one of their children had something like 17 children.
Wow.
So there were a lot of Johnsons living on Sapelo Island at one time. Now there's only a handful of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a rather large family.
Well, great, great, great. Now, if you're just joining us, we are talking with Michelle Nicole Johnson, who has written a book about Hog Hammock, which is a community on Sapelo Island. And she's telling us all kinds of great information, history about that community. So, you know, Michelle, I got a call today from someone saying, I want to go and see the Gullah Geechee people.
Mm-hmm.
As though there was, some type of activity or that they would be doing something and they could go and see them doing that. Can you tell us a little bit about Gullah Geechee and how that relates to Sapelo and Hog Hammock in particular?
Well, the Gullah Geechee people, that's the name of both the people and a culture. And these are the people who live on the islands and on the mainland coastal areas spanning from North Carolina, the southern part of North Carolina, all the way down to Jacksonville, Florida. It's actually been designated the Gullah Geechee Heritage Cultural Corridor as part of the National Park Service. And these people have retained many of their African traditions because they were so isolated for so many generations on these islands and in these coastal areas. They were able to retain many of their West African traditions that were brought over with them from slavery. And these included net making and many of the food ways, such as smoked fish and the rice dishes, basket weaving. You'll see the baskets here on Sapelo Island that are very similar to the ones that you'll see in Charleston and in Beaufort and other Gullah communities. And they look just like the baskets you'll see in Sierra Leone or in Senegal when you go there. And also the language, because you had all these people from these different West African tribes who had to communicate with each other. They had to communicate with the white people who were living here speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
They developed this Creole known as Gullah or Geechee. And I should point out that when you're in South Carolina, you'll hear it referred to as Gullah Geechee. And when you're in Georgia, they call it Geechee Gullah because the Georgians call themselves Geechee.
Okay. So you have to make sure and make those correct distinctions.
That's right.
There.
And I have to keep it straight. Whenever I'm talking to groups, I have to make sure I'm putting the right one first.
Yeah, you don't want to mix that up.
Yes.
Definitely don't.
Hi.
Yes.
I've got a question, Michelle. First, I want to just let you know that I absolutely love your book. It is
outstanding. Thank you. It was a fun project.
Well, my background is in cultural and anthropology, and it reminded me so much of the wonderful books I've read about the different cultures in that particular specialty. Mm-hmm. I especially love your pictures, and I'm curious, do you know how many of the current residents or actually descendants of the people in the pictures?
Nearly everyone is. I purposely tried to have representatives from all of the 44 families. And a lot of those families, you know, they're intermingled, intermarried, so everybody's related to everybody here, you know, whether it's by blood or by marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone could look in the book and find one of their ancestors.
Well, did they give you the pictures, or where did you find your archives?
Yes. I moved to Sapelo Island in 2005, and when I moved here, I moved in with my husband and his father-in-law. He was taking care of his father, my father-in-law, and he had a whole bunch of pictures in his room. He saved, you know, church documents and obituaries and that sort of thing.
That's amazing.
So I started collecting his materials and talking to him, and then from there I got the idea to do the book, and I started talking to other families, and many of them were very willing to, you know, donate their pictures for the book. And
that's really amazing.
A lot of fun sitting with them, you know, in their living rooms, and they pull out shoe boxes full of books, and we spend hours going through them, and they tell me all the stories behind them.
You could probably write a book about just putting this book together.
Yeah,
Michelle,
thank you so much for joining us. Quickly, can you tell everyone how they can get your book?
The book is available. You can order it through most major bookstores and even the smaller bookstores, and it's available online at your major booksellers like Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
Well, great.
So
it's
fairly easy to get.
Great. We'll put that up on the website as well.
Thanks, Michelle.
And we'll be back in a few minutes.
See you later.